All that surveillance tech to track down foreign terrorists and immigrants, and nobody reads the internet? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. The federal government, along with state and local governments, spends billions of dollars every year on security and surveillance technology. In theory, to prevent things like the attack on the U.S. Capitol that happened last week. It's high tech, comprehensive, creates a whole lot of privacy concerns, but also might not be accomplishing the right things. Alvaro Bedoya is director of the Center on Privacy and Technology at Georgetown.
Historically, surveillance technology has tracked our technology, our phone calls, our cars, our computers, and increasingly, surveillance technology tracks our bodies, right? Who we are physically in the flesh, fingerprint, iris, DNA. But really, the big area of growth is face recognition. And so you have a DHS biometric system with a heavy reliance on face. You have an FBI face recognition network that taps into many state driver's license databases. And you have right now a focus on tracking immigrants. That, I think, is something that we need to start to reckon with after what happened at the Capitol.
Well, it's been interesting to see, too, that there's a sort of a debate about whether to refer to those events of January 6th as terrorism, because that activates this very specific infrastructure that has very little to do with domestic white nationalism.
Yeah, you know, I think that what that's about is that word terrorism is used to strip people of rights in courts of law. You know, for centuries, our country tried people for all sorts of very serious crimes, and they were tried, by and large, in courts of law that afforded them a full set of rights. But starting in the Bush administration and continuing today, the moment that this word is used, it is typically used to disenfranchise folks from a whole series of rights that they get in the court of law. I mean, whatever you call it, you had pipe bombs, you had the death of a Capitol Hill police officer, so this was an extraordinarily violent and dangerous crime. I leave it to the authorities to say what words they should use for it.
What is there to say about this huge security apparatus that you have described when, in the case of the January 6th U.S. Capitol attack, it was all on the public internet?
Exactly. We have built a security state around the idea that immigrants are dangerous. And as you said, the reality here is that these are not the people who stormed the Capitol. And frankly, these are not the people who are dangerous. And so we're not going to surveil our way out of a nationwide failure to reckon with white supremacy. That is something that will take years, and that will be much more difficult than running up surveillance budgets for face recognition or any other surveillance program.
Well, and wouldn't we be likely to find ourselves, if we, you know, put into place even more surveillance as a result of this event, aren't we likely to put into place even more of an apparatus that will disproportionately discriminate against people of color?
That's exactly right. You know, the great bait and switch of the Department of Homeland Security is that after 9/11, people were scared, and people were rightly scared of terrorism. And so they built an agency that they thought was going to help them catch terrorists. But in reality, it is an agency that catches undocumented immigrants, the vast majority of whom have never committed a crime other than perhaps entering the border illegally. You know, the great bait and switch of the national security state is that we were promised an agency to combat terrorism. We were given an agency that prosecutes immigrants and that persecutes immigrants. If you look at all those surveillance programs that DHS has paid for with taxpayer dollars, license plate scans in the top 50 metropolitan areas, face recognition scans in about a dozen states covering about 60 million Americans' faces on their driver's licenses, ICE tapping into getting utility companies' address information on the largest utility companies in the country. This is all done under the guise of national security, but in reality, it is used to create an infrastructure to find and deport undocumented people.
How hopeful are you that change will happen, that we might approach law enforcement differently?
I see in the president-elect someone who recognizes that the nation is in pain. And my hope for him and his administration is that he will take this money from this security state that clearly is not protecting us and invest it in education to teach people that, you know, vaccines are real and climate change is real and racism is real. But I also think that this could be an excuse to redouble the trends that started under George W. Bush, expanded under Barack Obama, and were tripled down under Donald J. Trump to promise Americans safety and deliver them deportations and a system that watches black and brown people and catches them when they are alleged to have made mistakes.
Alvaro Bedoya is director of the Center on Privacy and Technology at Georgetown. And now for some related links. Over the past several days, that thing where these pro-Trump extremists can't help but post pictures of themselves online has proven to be a pretty obvious weakness in their plan. Even as the attacks were happening on January 6th, the Reddit community and others immediately started gathering tweets and photos and posts to save for law enforcement in case they were later deleted. As of Friday, at least 20 gigs of data was being hosted online, available for anyone to see, no further surveillance apparatus required. Later this week, though, we'll talk about how these images can also become propaganda, as extremists look to recruit future extremists with pictures of their success. Stay tuned and stay safe. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.